folks, it's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. We're on a little bit late because of crazy technical difficulties, which Mike has solved with his psychic powers. As long as we made it on air, we have a really interesting guest today. Do we have Delina online? Delina, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. And we have Klaus von Stutterheim calling in with his questions, may have further questions for you than Mike and I do. I think the introduction maybe Mike should do, but you're running for the Arizona's 4th
district. That's right. That's the best thing we can say is not only has she won her primary. She is going to be the Democratic candidate for Congressional District 4, which is our district. Not at the station. So it's my district in Cottonwood, and many other places. We're going to talk about the wide-ranging district of
it's huge, isn't it,
CD4. And Delina DeSanto won, and she is going to face Paul Gosar in the November election. Good morning, Delina. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being here. Thank you for inviting me. And, thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's been very exciting.
Yes, I can imagine it. Delina's a registered nurse. She runs a business with her husband, and she was a staffer for some senators and a senator in another state. And so gave her certainly a whetted her appetite when it came to politics and let her know what goes on behind the scenes anyway. And yet she's doing it anyway. So that's a good thing. I think we're real lucky to have you.
I mean, is well worth it, right?
Yes, and Paul Gosar is usually referred to in a nice way as Arizona's most controversial congressman, or you could read kooky. The people who are more frank. Delina, he's a really bizarre guy, one of the most extreme and very, very strange conspiracy-minded congressmen in the country. I hope you can knock him out of there.
Well, yeah.
Indeed.
That's what I plan to do. I mean, his rhetoric, his divisive rhetoric, his conspiracy theories, his lies, you know, he distorts so many different things that, you know, it's just, you know, he acts like a big shot and, you know, he's not really working.
Supports uranium mining near the Grand Canyon, for example.
You know.
Denies climate change.
Right. Exactly. You know, he wanted to boycott the Pope's speech because he was afraid the Pope was going to speak about climate change.
And the Pope was a socialist, he said.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to take this stuff seriously, but he is the congressman. This is like, is it six terms or something like that? It's a great number of terms. I don't have the exact figure in front of me.
Yeah.
Well, right. He switched districts. When we realigned districts, he moved to Prescott, or at least has an address in Prescott, and won there in Arizona at the time. It an R after your name. And like a lot of these guys, he kept his kookiness hidden. He said all the right things. He supported education. He doesn't. He said he supported many things. He supported jobs. He doesn't. Unless it's uranium mining in the Grand Canyon, so he was early on the lying train, and it won him his seat, and keeps winning him his seat.
And I stand corrected; it's not six terms as a congressman, but five. So he's been in there 10 years, Delina. That's a tough nut. He has a lot of he has seniority he can claim. He has name recognition and so forth and so on. What's your take on how to take him on?
Well, you say name recognition, so he definitely has a lot of name recognition in regards to all the things that he's been doing, the crazy things that we just talked about. So I think what I need to do is I just need to prove to people that he is not working for the district, Congressional District 4. He's not representing the people there. I mean, you know, I talk with people from all over the district, and we can get into how big it is a little bit later. But there are people struggling. They want their stimulus check. Some people didn't even receive their stimulus check. But all he wants to do, and unemployment, they haven't received their unemployment, but now all these cuts are coming through. And so he's not listening to the people of Congressional District 4, and I am. And I promise to work hard for them to make sure that they receive the things that they need. But then also, we also need jobs. We need to make sure that people have health care, because especially with COVID right now, some of the bills for some of these people are $500,000 if they're in the hospital for so many weeks. I mean, how can somebody ever pay a $500,000 bill? And he just doesn't care. And he is, at this point, like you say, he has a stronghold here. But I think it's just because people don't really know what it is that he's not doing for his constituents.
I think
that's what
a great
I plan
point.
On doing is I try to, I'm going to be calling him out on what he's not doing and then what I will be doing for them.
I think that's a great point, Delina, that he's, what you really, you're campaigning is what he's not doing for the district that he should be doing. I mean, it's one thing to go about how kooky he is and all that.
Right.
But it's another thing to really talk about what he's not doing for the district. Klaus, did you have a question for Delina?
Yeah, I did. Delina, how much money have either of you raised?
It's hard to hear him. What did he say?
He's talking about financing. How are you guys doing? How is the Delina DeSanto campaign doing raising funds? And is Gosar getting wild packed donations?
So on my end, I don't have the backing yet because I had a primary. There have been a lot of people on the Democratic side that were not donating because I had a primary. So now that they have all said that they, you know, wanted to wait until after the primary, trust me, they're all going to be getting phone calls to start donating to me.
What about the DNC? Are they interested in this race?
Well, it would be, I don't know about the DNC, but I know the DCCC, which is the Democratic Congressional Committee. They're definitely interested in the race because they also have Harold Tipernini's race against Schweikert.
Right.
And they also have Michael Moscato's against Debbie Lesko. And then they have Joanne Green against Andy Biggs. You know, so these are races that, you know, they're keeping an eye on and what's going to happen within the next couple of weeks, you know, what kind of backing and stuff.
How much money has Gosar raised?
Well, I know that Gosar has about I think it's 140 or 150,000. As a matter of fact, I have a meeting after this interview with my consulting firm, and we're going to be going over what our next steps are. And so, yeah, he gets money. I know he received like $10,000 from the Koch Industries, and he receives a lot of money from energy companies, and that's why they want to mine in the Grand Canyon.
He's a member of the what's called the Congressional Western Caucus, which is basically funded by extractive industries.
Yeah.
He's a very active member of this sort of a highly focused, I guess, kind of extreme defenders of things like uranium mining and oil and gas on public lands and things like that.
That's correct. And that's where he gets his funding from. I mean, there's big dollars there. And, you know, it's not that I'm against, you know, energy companies because we still need oil and gas. We're going to need that for several years. But I am against destroying our public lands or our national parks. And to have mining in the mining uranium in the Grand Canyon would take away from Arizona, from our economy, first off. But also, what about the effects it would have on Native Americans in regards to environmental concerns and problems and water issues? And so even though they have this big stance about how clean they do mining and drilling and fracking now, I just don't believe it. I've seen it across the Southwest and in the West out here, the devastation of what it's done to the environment and to our water systems. And I'm not going to stand for it. I will not have it. They already have mining and drilling in areas, and hopefully they'll take care of those areas, but they're not. So
we're talking to the DeLeon DeSanto, the candidate, the Democratic candidate that's going to face Paul Gosar, the Republican, in the November election. She just finished coming off of a primary win. You know, it's I don't want to say easy, but it's certainly a tendency, especially for people like Steve and I here on Democratic Perspective, to attack or at least see all the things wrong with the Gosar. Certainly, we've been watching him for a long time. His own family shuns him. His comments, because they are unreasonable. They are crazy. All that we mentioned at the top of the show, the conspiracy theories and whatnot. So he is funded by big Republican donors. He is a member of the American Legislative Exchange Council, where a lot of the right-wing legislation has come out of in the last 20 years. So we don't necessarily want to make it all about how horrible Gosar is, although that is...
Horrible.
He really is bad. He is.
I think he's the champion conspiracy theorist Republican in the United States Congress. I think he's number one in terms of crazy conspiracy theories.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So, but we do want to talk about, I want to get to the Native American thing that DeLeon just mentioned. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have some folks from the League of Women Voters on and some other that are specializing in getting out the Native American vote. They've got, we've got a local here, Misha Casebeer, who is sort of really focusing on this. She's worked on Yavapai Apache Res. She's worked on in various places in northern Arizona, and is really intent on advising and helping and doing what she can to get out a Native American vote more than ever before. DeLeon, how do you feel about that? How dependent is your campaign on a Native American vote?
Every vote counts, right?
There you go.
It does matter. Every vote counts is what I'm getting at. I have 7 Native American reservations in my district. They're small. They're not like the Navajo Nation. But, you know, like Hualapai, and then I have Fort Mojave, Yavapai Apache, Yavapai Prescott, the Colorado River Indian Tribe, and then I have part of the San Carlos Apache. I mean, and the Tonto Apache. I mean, so I have these little parts too, because you know how the district is kind of what they say gerrymandered. So it pulls it out. So their lives are just as important as anybody else's life in any towns that I'm going to represent. And these are the things that happen, is that they take advantage of the Native Americans in regards to, like Gosar wants to mine in the Grand Canyon. There's no oversight on making sure that our Native American areas are protected. And that is what is upsetting to me. Is seeing that. I mean, if you go back years ago, I think it was the 1940s when they were mining uranium on the Navajo Reservation. And till today, you still see healthcare issues with the Navajo Nation. And so why is it that we still allow to have this and the cleanup hasn't been done? And this is what I don't want for the future of Arizona. And for my district. I don't want to have it, and I will not have it. And we just need to make sure that these energy companies are accountable.
That seems idea, accountable energy companies. DeLeon, I don't know. That seems pretty extreme. They actually have to clean up their messes, and, you know, that's a shocker, at least
to us. Well, they're not responsible for the health care of these people afterwards, but we are. You know, and then you know, you have Gosar saying, "Oh no, we're not going to let, you know, we're not going to allow Social Security disability, and we're not going to allow Medicaid, and we're going to take nutritional benefits off the table." But okay, so it's okay to mine and hurt the health care of people, but then it's not after the energy companies don't turn around and help what population they have already infected or impacted. They don't want to help them, but then the government doesn't come in and try to help them either. I mean, there has to be a balance here.
What many of the uranium companies do is they create a big mess in the past,
right.
And then they conveniently go bankrupt, and so then they can't be asked to clean up the.
They can't be sued. They can't go after them.
And then the public, American citizens, have to pick up the bill for the money that they've managed to extract from uranium processing. But we pick up the bill in the end because there's this systematic pattern of going bankrupt to avoid accountability.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they do that all over. Delina, what's the do you know what the turnout is of the Native American vote?
No, to be honest with you, I don't know exactly. I know that every 2 years it's different. You know, usually it's presidential races that they come out and vote more than they do on the off years. So I could ask that question actually to my consulting firm to find out.
Let's switch subjects here. I want to go for so if you're going to be a representative in Congress. One more Democrat is great to have in the House of Representatives. The how are you going to help? What can you do for a recovering economy? We're talking about how hard was CD4, Congressional District 4, hit with COVID, and what can we do to help these people get back to work?
Yeah, I understand what they're going through, to be honest with you. Like I said, I've talked to several people who have been sick and been hit by this by their families. I don't know the exact numbers in CD4 of who've been hit, but I know that in Kingman, Yuma's been hit really hard, and I know that part of Pinal County has been hit really, really hard, and those patients that come into those hospitals are being transferred to Phoenix, and so. The hospitals are so overwhelmed in regards to they don't have enough ICU beds to be able to have ventilators. And so even though the numbers are starting to come down and be almost controllable right now, that doesn't mean that we can't have another turnaround. And that's why opening up businesses, we shouldn't do it all at once. I think that what we need to do is to do it little by little. We need to have a plan. And I really think that we have good people, good scientists here, good doctors, that we can all sit down and decide, okay, what can we open first and how can we do it so that we're doing it in a manner where we're not going to have such big outbreaks at one time. We do have to get back to work. We do. I mean, I hear people all the time. They're struggling. They're hurting. They don't have money. They don't know how they're going to put food on the table or feed their kids. It's very sad. It's very sad. And we need to come up with a plan. We can't just keep saying, oh, go ahead and open this or go ahead and do this or no, you don't have to wear a mask. We have to have a plan. And I wish Doug Ducey would have a good plan. I wish we had a national plan, to be honest with you, and then have the states be able to add into their own what they need to do as they open up.
Well, that's certainly a national crisis needs a national plan.
I think that's one of the worst problems, Mike, is that our whole federal system, the breakdown, the power of the state, had made it very, very hard for us to deal consistently with this virus. And we've done much worse than most countries because of this patchwork of different states and stuff.
We are number one today.
Against us.
5 million cases in the U.S.
Also, the distrust of government and of science that's been cultivated by Fox News and other groups has made it harder for us to solve this problem. And so that we're behind countries that were hit originally much worse than we were, Mike, like Italy.
That's right. We're talking to Delina DeSanto, snuggled down there in Cave Creek, right next to the Tonto National Forest. Great place to be, by the way. And she's going to be start stomping around Congressional District 4, asking for your vote to send her to Washington rather than crazy Paul Gosar. Kooky Paul. In a way, this seems like...
And we're not exaggerating about the kookiness.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And I want to ask Mike, I want to ask Diana, just what you're Delina. Talking about. Delina, I'm sorry, I've got the name wrong. Delina, I wanted to ask you about how you're going to campaign with COVID and the restrictions and stuff, because I know you're the kind of person who would be hands-on everywhere in the district, but how do you do it when we're in this current situation?
Well, as a matter of fact, I've just been invited to the Arizona Farm Bureau. They're having an annual dinner in Prescott on August 28th, and I told them that I would come. And I think what you have to do, as I'm a registered nurse, I mean, I know and I understand that you have to make sure you constantly wash your hands and not touch your face. That is the spread of the disease. And then you have to make sure that when you're in a social gathering and you're close with people, that you need to wear a mask. Because the overspray of someone speaking can even get into your eyes or into your mouth or on your face, and then you could touch your face again, and it just spreads all over. So what I would do is what I'm going to be doing for the dinner is I'm going to be wearing a mask, and I'm going to have make sure that I have, the alcohol the alcohol rub on my hand so that the hand sanitizer to make sure that, I'm being protected. And then if one, and I'm not going to shake hands in there, but I am going to be able to talk with people. I know that some of them will not be wearing a mask. And that's where I'm going to have to be distant from them when I'm speaking with them. And I hope they understand that. I hope that, and if they don't, I'm sorry. But I'm also protecting them as much as I'm hoping that they would be protecting me.
Well, that's it.
That's how we have to do it. We have to be smart about how and when we go out and touch things, and then make sure we wash our hands before we eat, before we touch anything in the house, those kind of things.
Well, we've had 5 million COVID transmissions in the United States. We have zero COVID transmissions with a mask. I mean, exactly. It's that simple.
Let me say something, too, on that. When you say there's 5 million cases here in the United States, we had 4 million 17 days ago.
Wow.
In 17 days, we've had a million cases. And when I hear people across the district, and I hear people across the nation, and family across the nation that would say, well, I have no one being affected. I don't see anybody. And when you have Fox News and you have Rush Limbaugh and you have people saying that it could be a hoax, it's not a hoax. I mean, there are people out there suffering. So a million cases in 17 days, that just goes to show you why we need a national plan.
It's the third leading cause of death.
Exactly.
And it's on its way to being number one. Maybe then, we're talking cancer and heart disease are the only two that are ahead of it right now. But let's get back part of what we want to do is during the show is let people get to know Delina DeSanto a little bit. This is the Democratic candidate. We want to define you other than bad Gosar. We want to define you as good DeSanto. And have you had a chance to talk to, let's say, Tom O'Halloran, who's Sedona's rep right now, and CD1 You know, have you had a chance to see maybe what, you know, maybe share some notes, I guess, of Tom's in a tough race. He just finished a primary, too.
Yeah.
Much tougher than yours, I might add.
Eva gave him a big, you know, it was hard. The, both of them worked really hard on both sides. Eva worked hard to try to get him.
I didn't. Eva was a very good candidate. We did an interview with her. She was a very effective candidate.
I do kind of want to get your, since we've taken that diversion. So we got Tom O'Hallan, representative for CD1, the Sedona district, and he has pieces of six counties in his district.
Seems to be running against a militia supporting candidate, the most extreme Republican run. They were one, both very extreme, but the most extremist candidate won.
And Eva's case, she got 42% of the vote. And in what certainly the DNC and the DCCC thought was a very conservative district. Eva is a extremely, I don't want to say extremely, but certainly a progressive. In
very,
the hierarchy of Democrats, she is on the progressive side. And she got 42% of the vote. That's a lot, I think that's a lot of, that's an eyebrow raiser for lots of Democrats that Arizona isn't as conservative as they think it is.
Exactly.
What do you think, Delina?
I agree with you 100%. I have been talking with, like I said, a lot of voters across this district, and some of them are Republican that I've been calling, and they're just as upset with what's going on with Trump, and they're just as upset of what's going on with Gosar, and they do ask me, what is it that I want, and, you know, where am I at in regards to health care and education and jobs? And I tell them, I am for it, and it should be being worked on right now for that. And I just understand the fact that there has been so many people that have moved into Maricopa County, Pinal County, Yavapai County, Yuma County. And so these are people that are registered independent. And some of them have come from California, some of them come from the Midwest. And when you talk to these people, they're not as so far right that we think that this district is. They really are very moderate. And so I love talking with them to talk about the issues. And I think that's what's happening here in Arizona, is we are very purple right now. We are very, very purple.
Do you have talking points that you really like to emphasize when you talk to voters? Do you have a kind of list in your head of issues, or do you respond to what the person you're talking to is interested in?
To be honest with you, I like to listen to what people have to say and what is it that they're concerned about. And I think I get that from working with U.S. Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell when I worked for him in Colorado. Because I had to listen, and not that I had to, I loved it, to be honest with you. I went across the state listening to people and having meetings for him. And I love to hear what they have to say, because what is it that they're coming, you know, what's at heart with them? And to be honest with you, in this district, when I go around and I talk with people, it mainly is health care. It's the fear of Medicare and Social Security being taken away or being privatized. It is jobs. It's education. You know, when you see Betsy DeVos cutting our public education consistently, and then our teachers not getting paid, our schools are falling apart. So you have all these issues that I'm able to be able to talk to them about, because they're just as big on my, on my agenda to be able to put forward in Congress. But it's always nice to hear what they have to say, because then I can sit there and say, yes, I understand what you're going through with your health care. Yes, I understand your fear of your losing your Medicare or Social Security. I do like to listen to what people have to say, but it's normally those same issues, veterans issues. I talk to veterans, and they are concerned with the mental health side, the suicide side. You know, where are they going to get the help that they need? Their PTSD, and then the cuts that have been gone through since the Bush administration towards the Veterans Administration. So I understand those issues, and so that's what I like to do.
Well, thank you for bringing up veterans. That's I was on my list of things I wanted to talk about today. Gosar's votes have not been very helpful to veterans. Arizona has a lot of veterans, and you're talking to one right now. But it's good news. We need a little attention to some of the hospitals, certainly in Prescott and Phoenix. Sometimes I feel like the veterans of Arizona are afterthoughts, certainly, at least when it comes to our lawmakers.
Right.
So what's the plan? How are you going to win this thing? Where are you going to go? Whose arms are you going to twist? Where you got a consulting meeting?
Or you or Mike break?
I don't envy your task, but you're going to be a busy person in the next 9-10 weeks.
Yes, I am. And to be honest with you, my most important thing right this minute is fundraising. And I'm reaching out to your audience right now. I really need, if we want to defeat Paul Gosar, I have to fundraise. I have to make sure that I have money in my coffers so I can beat him. It's not going to just take my volunteers and me and my consulting firm. It's going to take everybody, and every dollar counts. If Paul Gosar starts realizing that I'm on his tail and I'm going after his voters because I'm going to work for them, he's going to get scared, and he's going to go to his energy companies, and he's going to say, hey, I need to have some more funding.
How can people donate to you? Where do they go? They go on your website? Can you give us an address?
Yes. My website is and it's DelinaDeSanto.com. So DelinaDeSanto.com.
And you have a donate button.
And I have a donate button right on there. Good. Yes, I do.
Is that the easiest way to donate to the campaign? Is that
right now over the phone like this? Yes. I mean, I do have an Act Blue. If you're part of Act Blue, you can look up my name on Act Blue and donate through Act Blue there. Or if you go to my website, it'll automatically, when you click on donate, it'll take you to Act Blue.
That's great, because a lot of our listeners.
And mail it to, some people don't like to donate online.
Right.
You know, you can. There's an address on my website, a P.O. box. You can send the check right to my P.O. box.
That's a good point. I know that there are people that don't like to donate online, but a lot of our listeners are members of Act Blue, and so that's probably the easiest, the easiest and quickest way, especially if you have your stuff in memory. Nothing wrong with finding an address and mailing a check is what Delina is saying here.
Exactly. And they can also contact me. They can send a message through my website. And what happens is my volunteers or my campaign manager will forward that to me. And I try very hard to answer each and everyone's person their question, because I want them to know that I really want to be there for them.
Well, that's good. We're talking to our listeners, too. Tell your healthcare story to the registered nurse that's running to be your representative. Tell your job story.
I have several, and it's also very sad. But as a registered nurse, and then also as a hospital finance director, I have seen where many, many women with breast cancer have given up their breast cancer treatments, and this was before the ACA came through with Obama, and they would give up their cancer treatments because they didn't want to be a burden to their family or even to their churches who were helping them pay the bill. And when they would give it up, of course, they would pass away. And this one lady that I became friends with through this small hospital I worked at, she was coming in and she was paying and she was getting her cancer treatments. And then I hadn't seen her for a while, and her husband comes in to pay on the bill. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at the bill. I was a hospital finance director at the time, and I'm talking with him, and I'm looking at the bill. And I said, oh, she hasn't been in for a month. And he didn't know it, that she had given up the cancer treatments. And a month later, she passed away. It was so sad that I carry that to this day. And I have many, many stories like that. And this is why when Paul Gosar wants to go, you know, say that pre-existing conditions shouldn't be part of the, you know, federal government's health care plan, you know, the ACA, and he wants to get rid of that.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, he's killing people by doing that, because I've seen it. I've personally seen it. If we don't cover pre-existing conditions,
so at least pre-existing conditions. I'm healthcare is a complicated thing, and so we're going to go straight to it. What about some kind of Medicare for all? Is that a viable to Delina DeSanto?
To be honest with you, Medicare for all it sounds great. But, you know, I have my campaign manager, okay, she's also my daughter. She has a health insurance plan that she pays $5 a month, and her deductible is only $500. And so I understand when people tell me that they have a great health plan with a private insurance company. I understand that. And so why would I want to take that away from them? They can keep it. Why not? But what I believe in is that we need to have a Medicare plan, a choice, that somebody and could actually have and work with Medicare and have a plan that way at any age. It doesn't have to be 65, at any age. Because right now, ACA is administered by private insurance companies. And private insurance companies, their administration fee, okay, so their overhead fees to pay their CEOs $60 million, to pay high salaries to people, that is part of the cost goes from 25% to 65% of every time you pay into a private insurance company, 25 to 65% is actually their profit margin. So now when you look at Medicare, Medicare is through the government, and it is only a 5% overhead admin fee to pay for software, to pay for the federal employees. So it's only 5%. So, of course, that Medicare plan is going to cost so much less than going through a private insurance company for an ACA plan. That's the Affordable Care Act plan.
So, well, then it is counterintuitive that that this person, that there may be people with private plans, but they're not paying $5 and a $500 deductible and getting the coverage that they're getting from Medicare. I understand there's lots of people in the insurance industry that will fool you and tell you, and lots of people that aren't sophisticated enough to look at the plan that they're getting, look at the coverage, because in such a competitive field, nobody's getting $5 a month and $500 deductible. She doesn't have a great plan. She just doesn't know she doesn't have a great plan. I mean, I understand that she's paying $5 a month and $500 deductible, but she's not getting what the coverage that somebody would be getting under.
Each plan has different coverages. You're absolutely right.
She's also young, but I which makes a difference in the premiums. I can't tell you what it was like when I worked, guys bringing me these flyers that were faxed into the office about offering these incredibly cheap sounding medical plans, that when I showed them the fine print, that the deductibles and the limitation, they say, oh, the limitation is, you know, $100,000 a year. Well, if anything really bad happens to you, $100,000 a year limitation is just not going to help. I think the problem with Gosar, in one way, is it's like Trump is favoring a cut to payroll taxes. He thinks that that's going to sound really good to people. Oh, they're going to cut the payroll taxes. But payroll taxes pay for Social Security and Medicare.
Absolutely.
You'll throw them into a huge deficit if they're cut. And yet, well, we've only got 2 minutes left. Let you have the last word, you or Mike.
Yeah, Lena, we want to talk a little more about the What can you do to get on the radar of the Democratic Coordinated Campaign Committee, the DCCC and the DNC? Can you get some funding and some help from the big boys?
Well, we're going to have a conversation with them this week, and hopefully they'll get behind my campaign. I know that you have to give so much money into the coordinated campaign, and that's why I'm working hard on making sure that I get some good fundraising, some great donors out there, and we'll see what happens. The coordinated campaign is a great thing to have because, but you know, we all want to have. All the candidates want to be able to say, hey, I'm the best, you know.
So if I do a search for Delina DeSanto on the internet, will that take me to your website?
It should, uh-huh.
So that's an easy way to do it, folks.
All right, folks, we want to thank Delina DeSanto here, candidate in CD4, Democrat candidate running against Gosar, hope of CD4, the hope of Arizona here. We want to thank our friends at Democrats of the Red Rocks for their continued support. We want to remind you that this show and all our shows are archived at vvid.org, Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org has this show and all of our shows and nice little summaries maintained by Gary LeMaster. So please, 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 folks, there's a donate button there, but there's a lot of people asking you for money right now. If give it to us, give it to a candidate. Don't give it to us.
Share some love.
There you go. Give some love. All right, Delina, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again soon, and I hope maybe we'll have you on before that you get elected. Bye-bye.
That'd be great. Thank you for having me.
Listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.